Hi, I'm Jared Sebesta. Here's the podcast for Repurposed. Enjoy the conversation.
Everyone knew, well, Adam, what does he do? Oh, he smokes pot and does drugs, and he's just a druggie. He's one of the druggies. He does drugs, and he sells drugs, and I just was a drug addict. I mean, I completely fell into my addiction.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Repurposed, a show dedicated to inspire you to live a life of purpose, of intentionality, and of impact. I'm your host, Jared Sebesta of Teachus Financial Group. We are a retirement planning firm based in West Central Minnesota, where we teach and inspire with our clients what we call true wealth. If you want more information on Teachus Financial Group, just go to our website, teachusfinancial.com. Well, on this week's show, I'm bringing you an interview with a friend of mine by the name of Adam Trask. Adam is the ministry director at a place called The Fortress here in Wilmer, Minnesota. It's a restoration facility for men dealing with addictions to drugs and or alcohol. And in this episode, Adam shares his powerful story and testimony of growing up in central Minnesota and becoming a high school drug addict, which led to being a full-blown heroin addict by the time he was in his early 20s. Now, I'm happy to report today Adam is completely sober and free of addiction, but now he has a chance to put that experience into action. He has a chance to pour every day into other men that are struggling with addiction just like he used to do. Adam has a wonderful sense of purpose, and he gives advice for others wanting to find purpose and deep fulfillment in their own lives. Here's part one of my chat with Adam Trask. We've known each other kind of indirectly here for a couple of years, perhaps. By the way, just so people know and that they don't get a visual on you, you're kind of a scary guy.
Yeah.
Are people intimidated by you, first and foremost?
I hope not, but they may see my beard and how tall I am and be a little scared. But, yeah, I hope not.
Yeah, you got the big, bushy beard, yep. About 6'5".
Yep.
You know, look like an offensive lineman.
Yes,
so
sir.
That's good. But you're a gentle giant from what I'm told.
I am.
Okay. That's good to know. Well, what do you do now? Let's talk about your specific title now. You work with the Fortress here in the Wilmer area. What's your title? What do you do?
I am the ministry director at the Fortress in Wilmer here. We are a Christ-centered, faith-based program, a restoration program for men who primarily have struggled with addiction to alcohol or drugs. So what I do, my responsibilities at the Fortress as a ministry director range from teaching and leading the Bible studies, teaching and counseling the men individually and with, you know, being in group settings. And I've been blessed with the opportunity also to get up, on Wednesday nights. We have church services every Wednesday, and I rotate with the other pastor on staff at the Fortress, and I get to preach the Word of God. I got licensed as a pastor about a year ago now, so what I'm doing, my responsibilities can range from a guy needing toilet paper at the Fortress to doing an intake to leading a Bible study to getting behind the pulpit and preaching the Word of God. So it's a wide-ranging job title that I have there.
But you get to pour into, I mean, other men.
Yeah.
And I mean pour into them.
Yeah.
On a heart level, right?
Yeah, I get to do that every single day. I get to use my experience and my past and my testimony to relate with these men who come in. They come in broken. They come in hopeless. They come in just not knowing where to go. And I get to love on them and encourage them and just speak life into them every single day. So, yeah. I mean, it's quote-unquote a job, but I don't even call it really a job because it's my calling that God has put me at and placed me into. So,
what is the difference between like a typical kind of 12-step recovery program that maybe we've heard about over the years, yep, and what you do at the Fortress? Is there a difference there?
Well, 12-step, like NA, AA, yeah, meetings and programs, they do include, I know they do have, you know, they're centered around God still, but they're not completely all centered around a relationship with Jesus Christ. And the thing that we like to get away from, AA and NA and 12-step programs like to use a higher power type of thing with freedom from addiction. we believe at the Fortress, and I know for a fact from my own experience, that the only freedom from addiction, freedom from sin in itself, is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. He is the only higher power. And so the difference is that we are centered on Jesus Christ, and we don't have any other higher, it's Jesus Christ and a relationship with Him that reconciles our relationship with God, mm-hmm. and we believe in freedom in that. And it's a fact because there's many men other than me, men and women, who are living this out, and I'm just one of them who I'm just so thankful for what God has done in my life.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So this is, people live at the Fortress, for a period of time.
Yes.
And they're free to come and go to some extent, but this isn't like people are forced to come in.
No.
Not at all, right?
No, we have a, we're over on Russell Street, in Wilmer, the corner of Russell and Ella Avenue there, and we have a 32-bed facility. Right now we have about 20 guys in the program who live on site. They're there pretty much, 24/7. They do get to go out during the day. It's not like they're locked up in there, so they do have a lot of freedom.
Yeah.
They get to leave during the day to do appointments, to just go out, and they can just go out for 4 hours a day. They can go out, and if they need stuff to do or have things to do, they can do those things. But we primarily, during the week, Monday through Friday, we have Bible studies from 7 a.m. to about 11 a.m. There's free time in there, and then we come back and we have Bible studies every evening. And then, like I said, we do church on Wednesday nights. And there's a lot of stuff that we try to get involved in and kind of help these guys get involved in back in the community and churches at different other organizations to help serve at the food shelf and stuff like that we encourage these guys to start giving back.
What's a win for you? Use the word restoration. Come in, pour into these guys, love on them, restore them. Like what's a win? Somebody comes in, are they still using at this point when they come in, or have they kind of gotten over that and you want to try to get them through that threshold, or what's the ultimate goal here?
The ultimate goal that we have at the Fortress is to point these men to a relationship with Jesus Christ. So some of these men come in, they're homeless. Some of these men come in out of treatment. Some of these men come in from jail, right. Prison. Some of these men come in, they have no background in the church. They have no background. They never opened a Bible. They don't know anything.
What do they think when they start getting the message that you guys...
some are open to it. Some are very hesitant, but it's awesome to see, what I would say a win would be for me is seeing someone come in and never have been exposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ and actually give it a chance and actually start to listen and actually start to open their Bible during Bible study and actually read the Word of God and actually start to ask questions about the Word of God and actually start to say, is this like, what is this all about? And they start to get involved, and you can see the transformation from just when someone comes in and they look so broken, their eyes, it's just like there's no light in their eyes. They look depressed. They look hurt. They don't know where to go. You can tell that the shame and guilt on their face. And within a month or two, once they start to grab a hold of this, you can just see like the transformation that God has had in their life. Like that their face is brightened up. Their eyes are lit up. They talk different. They act different. They walk different. And to see a guy come in who has been struggling with addiction, doesn't know where to go, doesn't know where to turn, has never experienced the gospel of Christ, to a month or two down the road, they start to dig in, and I get to see the transformation of the seeds that were planted, that we get to preach the gospel of Christ, and it begins to affect them, and they begin to grab onto it. It's a miracle. Every day I get to see miracles, and praise God for what He does over there, because these men, they're fighting for their lives as former addicts, and I'm one of them, but praise God for the grace and mercy He's had on our lives, and it's just, I get to see wins, and I get to see, call them miracles. I get to see miracles just every day.
Yeah, that's gotta be tremendously fulfilling and enjoyable. Not even that though, but there's a flip side to this too, because I've been involved with the Fortress loosely, but been following you guys.
Yep.
It's not always the Cinderella story either.
No, it's not at all. And that's where, it's heartbreaking at times, that I get to walk with these men every day, and there have been instances, just in the past few years since I came to Wilmer, where a couple of my best friends on this walk who were at the Fortress with me, they're no longer here. It's life or death, and they went back to their addiction, and that one time going back was not, it was too much, and they were not able to come back. And so we do see, at times there are men who, they come in and they hear the word of God, they hear what the love that God has for them, but they decide to go back. There are men who on this path, they start to dig in, they start to have a relationship with Christ, they're moving forward, and a struggle comes up, mm-hmm. and they decide to go back. And in instances, this is life or death. Alcohol and drugs is life or death. But praise God, because even though there are a lot of, at times, disappointments, the miracles, like I said, that I get to see every day reinforce the fact and affirm me with what I'm doing, and that's pushing forward the kingdom of God.
I want to get into your testimony, but just a question just on addiction. Why do people do this? And maybe you can answer this question with your own life, but what is the draw? Is it brokenness? Is it hurt? What is it, being lost? Why do people turn to drugs and alcohol?
I don't know if I have the,
the
simple
answer.
Maybe you
don't. Is it not a black and white answer?
It's not really. There's so many different variables and different experiences and pasts and different hurts and struggles that even myself have gone through that just wanting to cover up things, wanting to fit in with people, wanting to just go that way, wanting to just experiment. And you get stuck in it, and it leads. But yeah, I don't really have a clear cut answer for that one.
I mean, if it was black and white, it'd be that much easier to solve it. But it's not the case.
Yeah.
So you grew up in Central Minnesota in Brainerd. I'd love to hear your testimony. Talk about where you're raised, what happened, and then start turning the tide into your addiction and your struggle with heroin.
Yes. So I'm 32 years old. I was born and raised in Brainerd, Minnesota. I had an awesome. From the standpoint of the outside, if you looked at my childhood with my mom and my sister, I had one of the best moms. Praise God that he put a mom in my life, who's just the most loving, caring mom that anyone can have. My father, was really off and on in my life, because of his own addiction to alcohol and drugs. Mm-hmm. And that at an early age, being a younger kid, I didn't know, how to take that, because I'm just a kid, and seeing my mom and him get divorced over this and not understanding fully what this was all about. Drug addiction came into my life at an early age, just seeing my dad being there struggling with that. But like I said, my mom was basically, she took over the two-parent situation.
How old were you at this time?
I was probably about 7 years old.
Okay, so really young.
So I was pretty young, and so it was just me, my sister, and my mom. And so growing up in Brainerd there, things were a struggle. We were pretty much alone, and not having a dad in my life as a boy, that's a big struggle. I now completely understand that why as dads, dads need to be in their kids' lives. And growing up as just a boy with a mom, it was amazing. She was amazing to fill that two-parent role. A boy needs his dad.
Yeah, you bet.
And so, growing up, just, we went along, and I was a good kid. I had pretty much all A's. I was in the honor roll. They put me in the advanced classes. I was pretty much a geek. Like I was a smart, really smart kid. I excelled at, everything I did in school. I think it was middle school or so, I just kind of felt kind of lost and lonely, and I reaching out to friendships, I wanted to kind of fit in, and I chose the crowd that didn't really do the best things. They mm-hmm. they drank a little bit, they smoked a little pot, and I thought, well, that's okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just a weekend thing, and this was when I was 15-16 years old, started a little bit 9th-10th grade. And so this just turned into kind of just a weekend thing. It was more of I felt accepted. I felt like I was somebody. I felt like I could fit in with this crowd of people. And it was a pretty big crowd, that would, it was one of those, well, where's the party tonight? It was a Friday, at school. Where's the party tonight? Okay, we're going to do this. And you'd go and just get drunk and you'd do that for Friday and Saturday. And then you'd come back Monday and you'd be sober the whole week.
Right.
That turned into me starting to use like marijuana, And that was off and on, and then that turned into a daily thing. And before you knew it, in 10th and 11th and 12th grade, it went from a weekend thing to daily using marijuana, to daily using methamphetamine, to daily using cocaine, to daily trying every single drug I could get my hands on. I mean, at that time, I started listening to, just to give you a funny story, I remember back in like 10th, 11th grade, my idol actually became Jim Morrison. I actually started listening to The Doors, so I wanted to be like Jim Morrison. I look back at that now and it's like, oh my gosh. But I grew my hair out long. I had my hair down to my shoulders.
Wasn't necessarily you from by the sounds of it. It was just, the path that you were following.
Yeah. Yep. It was just
you wouldn't normally listen to Jim Morrison as a geeky middle schooler.
No. I went the complete opposite way of that geeky, middle school kid with good grades. I went to the, listening to The Doors and Pink Floyd and wanting to take acid and mushrooms. And that was was my life. That's what I thought was my life.
You're 17 and 18 at this point.
Yeah, 16, 17, 18. And that's where it got really, really bad. Just into my, those few years of my addiction, just every day, during school, after school. That's what I wanted to do.
Where were you finding money for this at this point?
Basically I was working. I remember when I was working at that age. I was 15 years old. I actually got to be Paul Bunyan Amusement Land used to be in Brainerd. Yeah. So it used to be in Brainerd Baxter. It still is, but they moved it. But it used to be on the corner up there in Brainerd Baxter, and I had a really deep voice like I do now. Okay. So I actually got to start to be the voice of Paul Bunyan up there. And so I'd sit up in the booth, and not to spoil this for anyone, but you know, you get
that was your job?
That was my job for a while there. So I got to, they'd hand the names up and you'd be like, oh, welcome, you know, sit on my boot. And I'd raise a hand and I'd be Paul Bunyan. And it was good. I also did other things at the amusement park, but that was my first job.
Sure.
And then I got into like, you know, places like Green Mill and stuff up there.
And so you're just working.
And I was just working. Yeah. I would just, you know, I lived with my mom. And she knew what was going on, and she was just worried for me, and she didn't know what to do with me. I eventually moved out to a friend's house when I was a junior, senior, and I tried to get away from, because she knew what was going on.
Did you know you had a problem at this point?
I think I did, because there were days and moments where I knew this was not what I was made for, and I knew this was not what I was created for, but I got so stuck in the physical and mental dependence on using some type of drug that it's just what I thought. It's what I just felt I needed to do. Yeah. I felt trapped almost, I want to say. And barely graduated high school, actually. Praise God that I think the counselor felt bad for me because I actually, in the yearbook, and this is a funny story to me, but it's sad at the same time.
It's funny now, maybe.
It's funny now, but looking back, they put me as the most changed from 10th to 12th grade. Wow. But usually
in
most changed should be in a good way. Well, it was in a bad way. So, as everyone knew, well, Adam, what does he do? Oh, he smokes pot and does drugs, and he's just he's a druggie. He's one of the druggies. Yeah. He does drugs and he sells drugs. And I really, you know, I got into, you know, money-wise, I still worked at times, but, you know, there was, you know, I got drugs, I sold drugs. It was off and on like that. And I just was a drug addict. I mean, I completely fell into my addiction. And like I said, barely graduated high school, but I did. I got to walk the line. I got my diploma, praise God. And I got out, and that summer after high school, I went through my first treatment, because I knew there was an issue. I knew there was a problem. I didn't want to live my life like that anymore. And I went to it was a short term at that time, inpatient treatment up in Brainerd for 60 days. It wasn't a faith-based treatment. It was more of a secular treatment, and I really didn't hear much about God. I still, you know, growing up, I didn't, you know, I went to church, I went to Sunday school, but I didn't really get into the whole God thing. I knew there was a God, I believe.
So you're not a quote-unquote Christian at this point.
Yeah, okay. I really didn't know much about God, and so I went through that treatment, and there was a lot of treatment stuff, NAAA stuff that seemed to work for a little bit for me, but eventually I got out of that treatment and started hanging out with older old friends again up there in Brainerd, and went right back into my using.
Are you using heroin at this point?
I was not using heroin at that point.
Because that was kind of your main problem,
yep,
so to speak, right? When did that start?
That started actually when I was 23, 24.
Wow. So you've been doing drugs now at this point for several years.
Yeah. Okay. So from the age of, after that first treatment till 23, I'd moved down to the cities to try to get away from my old friends. I went down to the cities. Things got worse down in the cities. I moved back to Brainerd to try to get back away from the people I met down in the cities.
Re-met your old friends.
So I re-met my old friends, and then eventually I got introduced to opiates, and it was just a friend at the time gave me a couple Percocets. I didn't know what they were, and he just said, take these and just take them. And I said, okay. And immediately, being an addict, I fell completely in love with opiates.
Let me stop you right there. So I've never, I shouldn't even go on the record and say this. Besides, experimenting slightly with marijuana many, many years ago, I have never done anything else other than drank. And I'm not saying that to say, oh, look at me, I've never done. But I've never done, hard drugs.
Yep.
There's people out there that are thinking the exact same thing. What does that do to you when you take a strong opiate drug like that, or even cocaine? I see this happening, and I'm what does it feel like? Is that a fair question?
It's a fair question.
Can you explain what that is like?
To describe it, it's a feeling of, I guess, it's a euphoric feeling. You feel really good. You feel like you don't have to worry about any problems that are going on in your life. They all just kind of disappear. Hmm. It's just kind of like this rush of a feeling, depending on what drug it is, different, from smoking marijuana to using meth or cocaine to taking opiates. It's an up feeling, or it's a down feeling, and you can just forget about everything, or you can be up and you can have energy. And
do you feel like if you drink, I've experienced that back in the day, like where you drink excessively and you feel out of control, the next day you don't really remember, you have a hangover, is it like that?
The feeling would be kind of like when you're a little drunk, if you're drunk at the time, it would feel kind of like relate with that feeling, but like Hank being hungover and stuff, it does actually, same type of thing, you would withdrawal and stuff off harder drugs. It's a horrible feeling. During the time, it may feel good. You feel temporarily like, okay, this feels good. After the feeling, just like with a hangover, with drinking, you feel horrible.
Because I've seen a lot of with heavy duty addicts, they have to, quote unquote, have to do drugs just to get them up to an equilibrium, functioning state.
Yep.
They have to use just so I can now get through my day and function as a normal human being. Can you relate to that? Were you ever at that point?
Completely relate with that. And that's where I guess I can just go right into the, the heroin addiction. Cause it went, like I said, from just a couple Percocets to heroin. It went from different other pain pills, but it went to heroin. And eventually with heroin, it's one of those things where your tolerance gets in there where you have to do it and you need to do it and you feel like you need to do it.
Yeah.
And you're really not even getting high anymore.
Is that true?
Is
it really?
It's true. You're just, you need it so your body doesn't feel like horrible and sick, and you're just, so you just feel kind of normal.
Yeah.
And that 3 years of my life, was some of the most miserable days.
That's got to be just the most helpless feeling ever. You literally have to pump drugs into your system just to feel and I'm sure when you feel normal to you, that's like a 2 out of 10 to most people.
Yeah.
That's good. You have to feel just so totally trapped.
It was miserable. It was some of the most miserable days of my life. And brings me back to those days and why I never ever want to go back to those days. And I just became a full blown heroin junkie. I told myself I'd never use needles. I would never use needles. And before you knew it, I was using needles. I was shooting up heroin. I had different at times, different overdoses. I was like dead. I mean, there was, praise God that he kept me alive, during those few years of using heroin. But I was dead. I mean, literally 5.5 years ago, when I walked in, I went through Teen Challenge in Brainerd, Minnesota. It took a while to get me in there. I did not want to go. I was scared. I didn't want to get off of heroin because I was so scared of the withdrawal symptoms and the sick feeling. And Eventually, though, I had to do it, and I got led to Teen Challenge in Brainerd.
How'd you get there? Did somebody recommend it, or you just found out?
Well, it was my mom and my stepfather. Okay. At the time, they saw what was going on in my life. They saw that I was killing myself, basically, with these drugs, and they saw how horrible things were getting. And they kept pushing it.
Well, that was part one of my interview with Adam Trask of The Fortress in Wilmer, Minnesota. It's a restoration center for men struggling with addiction to drugs and alcohol. Next week, in part two, Adam explains the rest of his testimony. He ends up going to Minnesota Teen Challenge and eventually gets transferred to The Fortress in Wilmer, where he now serves. Adam talks about how the pain and struggles in his own life dealing with addiction have now been redeemed into this wonderful, beautiful, impactful purpose, which he gets to play out every day while he goes to work. And he also gives advice for others trying to find that purpose for their own lives. That's next week on part two of Repurposed. For now, thank you for listening to this episode of Repurposed. Just a reminder, this show is based on a book by Ben Tages called Repurpose, The Untold Story of Retirement in America. If you want the first two chapters of that book, go to our website. It's totally free, tagesfinancial.com, and click on Heard Us on the Radio. Also, a big thanks to Faith Radio for helping us sponsor this program. If you missed any or all of this episode, visit myfaithradio.com to hear or download the podcast there. I'm Jared Sebesta. We'll see you next time on Repurposed. Hey, thanks for listening to the podcast of Repurposed. This media is only available because of listener support just like you. If you want to make a gift right now, you can go to the website, myfaithradio.com. And if you do that, we would appreciate that so much. Also, thanks in advance for sharing these podcasts with your friends online. It's an easy way to help spread the impact of Repurpose. And just one more thing, subscribe. You can find Repurpose on iTunes or your favorite podcast player.